यच्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यः पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदे घोरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे आदित्यानमहं विष्णु ज्योतितामरवीरमसुमान् मरीचिर्मरुधामस्मि नक्षत्राणामहं सति ऑफ द आदित्यस एंड विष्णु ऑफ लाइट्स एंड द रेडियंट सन्स ऑफ द मरुत्स एंड मरीचि अमंग द स्टार्स एंड द मून सो स्टार्टिंग फ्रॉम द लास्ट वर्स कृष्णा हैज ऑलरेडी एस्टैब्लिश्ड हिज ऑपुलेंस is the beginning, middle, the end. He's the super soul. From now on, for the next 20 verses or so, he's going to show us that of all inanimate and animate objects, of all these objects, in groups of the objects, he is the supreme. We can actually find out how he is supreme. Now, the first is he's saying, Aditya, I'm Vishnu. Who are the Adityas? It's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, when Brahma first created the universe, he also created his sons. So, one of the sons was Daksha, and Daksha had many daughters which he gave away. Of these daughters, one of them was Aditya. Aditi. See? And he gave his daughters to various Prajapatis. So Aditi was given to Kashyapa Muni. Right? So Kashyapa Muni begot 12 sons. We got many, many sons, but 12 Adityas, the sons, the names are Vivasvan, Aryama, Pusa, Swashta, Savitha, Bhagat, Dhata, Vidarta, Varuna, Mitra, Satru, and Urukrama. Now, Urukrama is actually Vamanadev. So, Vamanadev took birth as the son of Aditi. So, that's why Krishna is saying here, of the Aditya, I am Vishnu. He is born as Vishnu. Now, we all know the story, Vamanadeva. But we don't know how he came about, right? So we shall now see how he came about. So, Aditi, one day, she came to her husband, Kashyapa Muni. She's very attentive, you know, because she wants a varam, you know, a benediction. In Tamil, you know, say varam, benediction. So, she's asking him. So, she's coming nicely, quietly, says, Prabhu, husband, Prabhu, I need a favor. I'm so sad. Why? Why are you so sad? Oh, my sons are no longer, no, Aditi, his son, her sons are all demigods. Diti, her sons are all demons. Okay? So Aditi's sons are demigods. They were ruling the planet, all the demigod planets, Indra and all that. So Indra also one of the sons, you know. So now the sons were all not so happy. They were, what happened? Bali Maharaj kicked them out. He ruled the heavenly kingdom. So Aditi's mother, you know, said, sons are no house, no where to stay. So she approaches his husband, Kashyapamuni. So she served very nicely. Very nicely she served him. Serving him so nicely, Kashyapamuni said, okay, what do you want? What do you want? Oh, Prabhu, you know everything, you know, but anyway you ask, I'll tell you. Now, my sons are not doing well. Mothers are always like that, always looking up for their children. How the son is doing, how the daughter is doing. So like that. So she became very much aggrieved. So she approached him and Kashyapamuni said, okay, since you are asking so many times, you know, you are lamenting like that, you know, we will... So he gave her, you know, a benediction. She wanted to know how to bring good fortune to her sons. Kashyapamuni said, okay, you shall execute Payovrata. Payovrata is vratam, you know, that you fast and you do things and you do it for 12 days. You do it and you pray to Krishna, Vishnu, and who else can satisfy you except Krishna, Vishnu. Vasudev can satisfy all our desires if he satisfies. So he told her, you go and do this sacrifice, you take part in this Payavrata worship of Krishna. So she did this. When she did this so nicely, you know, she did it very, very nicely. So because she did it so nicely, Krishna himself came before her. So Krishna was satisfied and he told her, what do you want? He asked her, you know, what do you want? He said, I want you to be my son. And Krishna said, okay. So Krishna immediately went into the mind of Kashyapamuni. Kashyapamuni impregnated his wife with the potency of Krishna, and Krishna appeared within the womb of Aditi as Vamanadevi. Vaishnava, you know, you can do, Vaishnava also got a lot of vratam, you know, you can do that, but in this day and age, not necessary, but if you want to do that, you can follow this. This is in the Canto 8, Chapter 16, so if anybody wants to do this, you can read this chapter and get all good fortune. And you get everything that you wanted. So by this vow, the supreme personality of God is Sri Krishna will be pleased and he will satisfy all your desires. And Krishna can even become your son. So he became the son, he was born as a dwarf, you know, and then he went to see Bali Maharaj and he begged for his Bali Maharaj was a devotee, you know, so he said, what do you want, Brahmana? What do you want? Whatever you want, my house, my wealth, anything I can give you. And of course, Krishna didn't want all that. He says, I just want three footsteps, my footsteps, that's all. The first footstep, you know, the whole earth was covered. Second footstep, the whole universe was covered. And he said, where's the third footstep? And Bali Maharaj knew that this is the personality of God, who is in front of you. Can't do much. So he said, of course, I promised you, so you can take my head. He put the third foot on his head. That means he destroyed Bali Maharaj and reinstated the heavenly kingdom to Indra and all the demigods. So Aditi's worship was not in vain. So if you follow, you see, we have a lot of desires in our heart. We can either go and do the desires ourselves or praying to the demigods, or we can go to Krishna and ask him for that, for this benediction, or he will give it to you, because this is something easy for him to give. Material world is very simple. He will give whatever you want. I just give to you, just don't ask devotional service. I can't give you, because devotional service, when he gives you devotional service, he surrenders. You tie Krishna with devotional service. You cannot, Krishna cannot escape. Once you take up devotional service and please Krishna, he is your servant. Rest of his life, he has to do everything for you. So, giving devotional service, Krishna is a little bit hesitant. He says, okay, you know, I report, wait, you know. see whether you are really qualified. If you are really qualified, then I give to you. So the only way to approach Krishna for devotional service is through Vaishnavas and through Guru. That is the only way. Because they can deliver Krishna to you. Because they are servants of Radharani, you know. So when Radharani is pleased, Radharani will say, okay, Krishna, I go. This boy is here, you please take. Okay. Krishna cannot deny Radharani desire. Whatever she says, Krishna cannot deny. Krishna cannot. He can, we ask Krishna, Krishna will say, oh, forget it. Who are you? Today you ask, tomorrow you do something else. I can't give you. So Guru Maharaj, if you please Guru, the Vaishnava, they are happy, their heart is full of bliss, and they are totally, this guy is so, this Prabhu, this devotee is so nice. And then they will pray on your behalf. Oh Lord Krishna, O Srimati Radharani, please take this Prabhu. This devotee is so nice. He is serving so nicely. Please take him. Then Krishna will say, okay, I will take. Once he takes, that's it. He can't retract. He can't retract. So that is our prayer. So we should become like Aditi. Try to please Krishna. But of course, the desire was different. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. His desire was different. He wanted the kingdom. So he prayed to Krishna. But then when he got Krishna, then he said, oh, I saw that diamond here and I asked for a glass. Crazy, So Krishna, so we must be intelligent. We must use our intelligence very nicely. Once we use our intelligence nicely, then we will become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, very difficult. So, this is the Vishnu. Of the Adityas, I am Vishnu. Krishna, he is Krishna. So, we know now how this is explained. Of light, I am the radiant sun. So, Krishna is the sun. There is no other light. Prabhupada explains here. All the scientists say, oh, there are millions of stars in the universe, and every star system, there are many, many planets, but only in this planet, Earth, we are living entities. So, foolish people, they don't understand. Every living entity is present in all planets all over the universe. And there is only one sun. Krishna said, is the sun. And Prabhupada has explained here, there is only one sun. All the twinkling that we see is all stars. That means how powerful this sun is. That this light can go and reflect off so many stars. It's very, very amazing. It is very difficult for us to fathom. Not easy. If we try to fathom, we will become fallen. There was one devotee of, disciple of Prabhupada. He was a very close, he was a servant of actually Prabhupada. He was serving Prabhupada. And at that time, the astronauts landed, supposedly landed on the moon. So this servant was doubtful. He said, Prabhupada, they landed on the moon. And Prabhupada said, no, they landed on some rock. That's not the moon planet. But this devotee harbored, he had doubts. So that's another thing. We cannot have doubts. If Guru and Shastra say one thing, we have to accept it wholeheartedly. We cannot say, oh, maybe the Shastras was wrong. Maybe my Guru Maharaj was wrong. Once you have this doubt, you will fall away. You will not be able to stick to the devotional process of Krishna consciousness. Not possible, not easy. It's not possible. How you want to follow? Cannot. Krishna is not going to allow. Because you have doubt. We cannot have doubt. You should be 100% surrendered to Krishna. Of course, when you are initially coming to the process and you don't understand anything, you can legitimately ask questions and clear the doubts. Once you have taken up the process, you cannot have any more doubts. All doubts should be cleared before you come in. The doubt, you cannot just come in and out, no. That is not the way Krishna consciousness works. If whatever doubts you have, please clear it first. Then you take it out. And then the process of Krishna consciousness is smooth sailing. It's not like, you know, most people say, oh, my Krishna consciousness life is so difficult, no. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Why? Because you have a lot of doubt. You don't accept this wholeheartedly, 100%, 10%. Just give up and say, okay, Krishna, I'm yours. Do as you will. I'm a Guru Maharaj. Give me an instruction. I'll do as he says. There should not be doubt. Why? Because false ego is there. No? Envy is there. False ego and envy is there. So always thinking, I know better. Oh, I think someone is doing better. I think I'm the best. How come he's better? Jealousy. All these problems are rising. So a devotee will not, should not have all this. A devotee should be 100% surrendered to Krishna, to Guru, to the Vaishnava. Whatever they say, peaceful. I mean, of course, you must have some intelligence. My brother says, go and jump into the well. You don't go and jump into the well, you know. That's crazy, right? You must be intelligent, you know. That means the person who's telling to jump in, ask you to jump into the well, is not a devotee. He is giving you false instructions. So we must have some intelligence to act. That's why it's important to take shelter of Vaishnavas and scriptures. You must read, all of us must read the scriptures. Not just, you know, just some Saturday or Sunday and say, oh, the Prabhuji will tell me something, I will learn. No, we have our own responsibility to our Guru, to the process, to the Guru Parampara. We have a responsibility to Krishna also, to study the scriptures, to understand the scriptures, to take association of devotees, to take shelter of a Guru. All this is our responsibility. Krishna can't force you to do anything. Now there was one story, this Prabhu was saying, okay, Krishna, God, please give me $1 million, please give me $1 million, please. After some time, Krishna said, Arigo, at least you must do something, at least buy the lottery ticket, you know. I think, if you didn't buy the lottery ticket, you want me to give me $1 million, how I can't give you anything on this? So we must do something. Ourselves we must do something. We have to take the endeavor. Endeavor must be there. Then Krishna will do. So you take one step, Krishna takes 10 steps. Sometimes you take 100 steps. It's all Krishna's free will, his own desire. We can't say how Krishna is going to respond, but whatever it is, we should be surrendered. We should surrender and let Krishna do what he wants to do. So of the Marut, I'm Marichi. Now who are the Marut? I told you, right? Kashyapa Muni married a few wives, several wives. One of Daksha's daughters is called Diti. Now Diti, her sons were all demons. All the sons she gave birth were demons. Now this Diti, what she did? So, she was very sad. Why she was sad? Because Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha, her sons, you know, Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha, those sons, they were killed by Krishna at the behest of Indra. So because, you know, Hiranyakasipu conquered the whole kingdom, the whole universe, including the heavenly kingdom. Again, Indra was affected. And he prayed to Brahma, and Brahma, everybody prayed to Krishna, and Krishna came and killed these two demons. So Diti was there. Oh my God. These two sons, so wonderful sons, died with him. So she also approached Kashyapa Muni. Very nice. So nice service, Seva. Women, I tell you, when they want something, they will do certainly very nice service with the husband. And the husband was so pleased. Kashyapa Muni said, okay, what do you want? Benediction. Okay, Harim, oh, I got my husband now. He can give me something, you know. So she said, you know, this Indra, you know, he killed my son. Indirectly, you know, not directly, but he killed. What to do, you know? I want to take revenge. Diti, you know, she wants to take revenge against. Actually, Aditi and Diti are sisters, you know. She wants to take revenge against her own nephew. So she said, okay, now, Kashyapamuni, you give me the benediction that I can have a son who will destroy Indra. So Kashyapamuni was looking and said, what have I got myself into? He's meditating, you know, he's thinking, oh, what can I do? And then he said, alright, since you won, and I've already promised, you can have a son who's powerful enough to kill Indra. Can, no problem, I give you this. But you must perform this vrat. This vrat is called Pumsavana ritualistic ceremony. Also says, Krishna conscious activity, praying to Krishna. Let me see here. What does it involve? I'll read to you. This is in Canto 6, Chapter 9. Whoever wants to do this can do this. Okay, this chapter explains how deeply Kashyapa Muni's wife executed Kashyapa Muni's instructions on devotional service. During the first day of the bright fortnight of the moon in the month of Agrahayana, November-December, every woman, following in the footsteps of Diti and following the instructions of her own husband, should begin this Pumsavana Vrat. In the morning, after washing her teeth, bathing and thus becoming purified, she should hear about the birth mystery or the Marut. Then, covering her body with a white dress and being properly ornamented, before breakfast, she should worship Lord Vishnu and Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Lord Vishnu's wife, by glorifying Lord Vishnu for his mercy, patience, prowess, ability, greatness and other glory, and for how he can bestow all mystic benedictions. So if either a pregnant woman or husband regularly discharges these devotional service, both of them will receive the result. After continuing this process for one full year, the chaste wife should fast on the Purnima, the full month of Kartik. On the following day, the husband should worship the Lord as before and observe the festival by cooking nice food and distributing prasadam to the brahmanas. Then, with the permission of the brahmanas, the husband and the wife should take prasad. That is how this vrat should be performed. Now, this Mataji, Diti, was doing this very, very nicely. So what happened? Indra knew, and his auntie was doing this to kill him. So, nice nephew. He went to Diti, this Arvo, Mataji, let me serve you in this vrat. Mataji said, okay, yeah, sure, you can help me. So every day, Lord Indra will help her to collect firewood, grass, flowers, so many things he will do. So he was doing this and he was waiting for an opportunity. Why? Kashyapamuni's instruction was, you cannot deviate, not even one day, one second also you cannot deviate from devotional service. Then you can have a son, very powerful son. So one day, Diti forgot to wash her mouth, hands and feet after eating. See, that's another thing you must do. After eating, you must wash your hands, mouth and feet. But she didn't. Too tired, no? So she went to sleep. Evening twilight, the sun is about to set, heaven set, she lies down to sleep. Lord Indra caught this opportunity. He went into her womb, where the sun was forming. The sun is supposed to kill Indra. So Lord Indra took his thunderbolt and slashed the embryo 7 times. When he slashed the embryo 7 times, the embryo didn't die. They cried, Indra, don't kill us, don't kill us. You're hurting us. It's so painful. And Lord Indra said, oh, don't worry. And he slashed each one of them again 7 times. When he slashed them first time, the embryo became 7. Each embryo, 7 embryos, another living entity entered. So 7 living entities now. These 7 living entities he cut again and it became 49. So these embryos will were actually brothers of Lord Indra. Because Diti always gives birth to demons. But because she was performing devotional service, a child or children were devotees and they became demigods. And they are called Maruts. And this is the Marut that Krishna is saying. Of the Maruts, I am Marichi. Now who is Marichi? Marichi is the grandfather of Kashyapa Muni. So like that, why Marichi? Marichi is one of the Prajapatis and he represents Krishna to progenitate the whole world. Prajapati, to fill the whole world with children, to people. So Krishna represents Marichi. He is of all the Maruts, 49, 50th one is Marichi. And among the stars, I am the moon. So, as I explained, Krishna said that of all the stars, he is the moon. Of all the twinkling stars in the universe, now there are many, many stars in the universe, no, they are not suns. Prabhupada already explained. So, there are so many twinkling stars, and the supreme star is the moon, and the moon is Krishna. Krishna is the representative, the moon is the representative of Krishna's opulence. So like that. So in this chapter, we're going to find so many things like that. We can explain, you know, the next verse and all that. So like this. So what Krishna is trying to do in this chapter is to give you a small idea, an inkling of who he is. How is Krishna so opulent? How is he so glorious? So in this chapter, he's explaining. One by one, he's trying to explain to you, to give you an idea who is Krishna. Because in our petty mind, we cannot understand who is Krishna. It's very difficult for us to understand who is Krishna. Krishna is so great. Oh yeah, Krishna, we know, yeah, Krishna is there. But we don't know how is he great. And this chapter explains to us how Krishna is great. Right? So we shall end here and ask if there are any comments or points that Prabhuji, Madhuji has to bring up. Yes, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, in your class you mentioned that Marichi is the grandfather of Kashyapa.
Yes.
But again you mentioned that Marichi is one of the Maruts.
No. 49 Maruts.
Who is one of the first 10 Maruts.
Yeah. And Marichi is the 50th.
Marichi is the?
50. Prabhupada right here. Now there are 50 varieties of wind blowing in the sky.
Okay. Marichi is the 50th of the one. And he is also the son of Aditi, who is married to Kashyapa Maharaj.
No, he's not the son. He's the grandfather.
But so this Maruti is the different Marichi is a different Maruti.
No. So Marichi is the grandfather, Kashyapa is the son. His Kashyapa's son is the son, the Marut, 49 Maruts. Of this Marut, Marichi is the leader. Okay, Prabhu. Marichi is the grandfather, right? So Kashyapa Muni is the son of Marichi. Kashyapa Muni's son are the Maruts, the 49 Maruts. Right? 49 only, right? But here, Prabhupada has already said, there are 50 varieties. Right? The 50th is Marichi himself. And he's the grandfather, he's one of the. He's represented by the grandson, the winds.
Right?
Hanuman was referred as Maruti. No, that is different. Hanuman is not. Any other? questions, comments, anything else to do with this? Is there nothing? I will try to.
So you brought a very nice point in your lecture regarding the episode of Dhruva Maharaj. Now my question is that when Dhruva Maharaj got the personal darshan of the Lord, he immediately gave up his material desire, and he said that, yeah, okay, now I have got diamonds and I was looking for love. So in that sense that he became a pure devotee, or he at least aspired for pure devotional service. Now when Aditi got the darshan of the Lord, or in fact the Lord himself comes as the Son, why don't we read in Bhagavatam that she gets pure devotional service, or rather her desire doesn't change from that material desire into desiring or aspiring for pure devotional service?
To be frank, I really don't know. But I feel that she's the mother of the demigods. All demigods have a duty to perform. So, as her duty is to progeny. So, that's her duty, her dharma. She has to do this. So, if everybody became a devotee and, you know, gave up, became a sannyasi like the Sanat Kumar, you see, Brahma gave birth to so many sons. Of all the sons, Sanat Kumar did not want. And Brahma was very angry because his duty is to progenitate the whole world full of people. But Sanat Kumar didn't want to do that. When they didn't want to do that, Brahma was angry, and from his anger, Lord Shiva was born. So like that, all the demigods have their duty. They have to perform this duty. But we also understand that because she was a very nice devotee and she served her husband so nicely, Kashyapa Muni, who was a very, very, very advanced devotional service. Obviously, at the end of the life of this universe, whatever, Brahma goes to sleep, they are going to go back to God. We may not have to externally perform devotional service, but I feel that she is performing devotional service because she is following her dharma and following the words of her husband. See, those days, as long as you follow your husband's words and whatever he says, you go back to God and you don't have to separately endeavor. So, in that sense, I think she is also a devotee and she probably went back to God. I'm really, why the Bhagavan says, doesn't say that, in fact, if you read the Bhagavatam in this Canto 6, Kashyapa Muni thinks like this, you know, women are always affectionate, and this affection affects our devotional service, our attempt to take up devotional service. Because we are so much affected to our children, to our wives, to our material needs and all that, this actually affects our devotional service. So, Kashyapa Muni is very intelligent. He has actually turned her desire into devotional desire. You notice that both Diti and Aditi, he made sure that they took up devotional service. And by taking up devotional service, you are not at loss. And they were definitely not at loss. Thank you. Any other comments? Nothing. If there's nothing now, we shall stop here and thank all devotees for coming for this discussion. We shall now have a small short session.